Welcome back to the Athletes for Justice podcast. On this episode, we get a chance to sit down with NFL veterans Jeremy Davis and Devontae Bosby as we tackle those questions. What is justice? What is love? What is hope? You're going to love this episode. We talk about some of our trips overseas to fight injustices, some of the ways we fought here on American soil, and you're not going to want to miss this. Devontae Bosby, Jeremy Davis, man, I'm so glad to have y'all on the Athletes for Justice podcast. And the way I usually start this thing is just to get right to it, to the question of this: what is justice?
Justice is simply, you know, equality, fairness. There's no partiality. And unfortunately, we do not see those things being displayed in our country or even on the trips that we take over through IJM. So that is how I had to define it. Yet it's something, again, that said it's not really being displayed here.
Devontae, how would you describe, how would you define the word justice?
Jeremy kind of took the words in my mouth, fairness, but if you go kind of deep into it, justice can sometimes mean a second chance. Mm. So just get the people thinking about that. Justice can sometimes mean a second chance.
What do you mean by that, Devontae? Go dive deeper.
So, and right now I'm a part of the Denver Broncos organization, and we have people in jail that's been behind bars for 30 years now for like petty drug crimes and, you know, marijuana crimes. And marijuana is legal now in a lot of states, and they're serving 30 years behind bars away from their families and friends and loved ones because of those crimes. And we're going back and forth with the governor of Colorado to grant his user's clemency powers to release some of these people from prison. Sometimes that's justice as well. So like, just kind of how you look at it. But justice is fairness and sometimes a second chance.
Mm. Jeremy, you talked about justice is equality, like fairness for all. But is there a difference? And that's one thing I'm trying to understand. Like, is there a difference between justice and equality? Right, Devontae, you said justice can be a second chance. I think that's deep, if you really think about it. Right, what is justice? It could be a second chance. But is there a difference between justice and equality, or are they the same?
I guess it depends on the scenario, as Devontae just alluded to, in the acts of like a second chance, there might not be equality in regards to that. We will see someone maybe behind bars longer because based off of race, as opposed to the actual charge they're being charged for. So due to race, it's like, oh, well, we're going to keep this guy here longer, or so on and so on. But I think at the same time, they can still work hand in hand, justice and equality, because through justice, we can see equality, if that makes sense to you guys.
What do you mean by that? Say more.
So in terms of, I guess, going back to the prison scenario, if we see the fairness to the equality of both races being treated the same based off the charge, we see justice happen, but we see the equality happen, you know. But too many times, like, due to the race, we don't see the equality. So I guess at the same time, we're not seeing justice be done at an equal playing field.
So we're recording this podcast in early January of 2021. And just recently, we saw, you know, people, you know, specifically white people, in large majority, you know, storm the I think it was Congress. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing for me that I think about is the labels, the words that people use. So like, let's talk about words and the power of words. Have there been situations in your life where someone has used a word to describe you or friends or family or teammates that you felt like it wasn't right? Something wasn't right about that.
I think when they use these words, they're attaching a race, they're attaching color with it. But in my personal experience, I've been in situations, yeah, but as far as any verbal abuse or any the word thug being used against me or something like that, no, I haven't been through anything like that. But when they use it, they're attaching a race and they're attaching a color to it.
Jeremy, what would you say?
I think it's also stereotyped. For me, I'm a tall black guy with dreads. So when you envision the word thug, that is most likely the image that comes to mind. And I went to the University of Connecticut, and stores, the population is probably predominantly white. And I know I always got certain looks because of my stature, hair, and my skin color. And if you really know me, bro, like I'd be vibing, bro. I won't say do anything wrong. We're all sinners, but like, I'm not an intentional troublemaker. But to automatically label me or view me due to a stereotype or when you hear this word is not fair, which I spoke about fairness being a part of, you know, justice. And I think thug or what are the other words we use? Thug.
Thug is one word. Gangsters, yeah.
Gangster and all that stuff. It's like, it should be more attached to it, the action, not the race or the stereotype.
Yeah, because at one point they were saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with you guys protesting, but you're not doing it peacefully. Now we've seen yesterday, because allegedly when they protest, they always do it peacefully. And when we protest, we don't do it peacefully. And now you've seen yesterday's actions where they're not doing it so peaceful. They're not doing it peaceful at all. And now are they attaching those words to their actions? Like you said, those words should be attached to actions. I wonder if they're doing that now with yesterday's events.
Absolutely. I think about the power of words. And I posted something on my social media describing that group of people as thugs. I said, that's what a thug looked like. And somebody messaged me and said, well, Sam, you describe these white people as thugs. And when people have used the word thug for black people, I feel like that's racist. And is it not racist for you to do it that way? And my response to that would be, we'll go back to the fairness, right? Like if you're going to use the word thug for people who are doing criminal activity, then let's use the word thug for people who do criminal activity and not just attach it to a skin color or a race.
Right.
Jeremy, take me back to that time. You talked about being on campus at UConn. Was there a time, take me back to that moment or a moment, it may have been many, where you can remember someone looking at you because of your, I mean, you're 6'4", right? 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
You know, dreads, you're black. Like, what was that moment like?
It could just be little things, even in the classroom. Because, bro, I think it might have been like six people on campus with dreads. But it could be even something simple as the classroom. Man, like, taking exams, and this teacher is just constantly just hovering my area. And now you're making me feel guilty as if I'm cheating when I'm not doing anything. You just see a tall 6'3" black athlete taking the test, but he's got to be up to something because stereotypically athletes, black athletes are not deemed as smart. So I'm just like trying to focus on my test, but like, why are they looking at me like this? So now I look guilty because I'm checking you out. You checking me out, but no, it's just you just have me in an uncomfortable setting, bro. Like, why are you hovering me while I'm trying to take my test? You're disturbing my focus, bro. I'm not cheating. And then obviously it could be other moments, like just, you know, I'm walking on this side of the sidewalk. I used to skateboard in college, so I could just be skateboarding. And then it's just like, I'm getting these views. Like, why is this black guy like skateboarding? Like I remember hearing like one of these white dudes say that, and I'm not confrontational, so I didn't think anything about it. But like, for me, like, I just like skateboarding. Like my favorite skateboard going was Kareem Campbell. This black skateboarder from New York. But again, it doesn't fit the stereotype. It's like deemed weird, and then like I'm judged for it, you know?
Devontae, I want to take you back to a moment a few years ago where You know, people often talk about Colin Kaepernick and protesting. And if you look at it, there weren't a ton of NFL players who protested. If we're just, you know, just by the numbers, at least visibly, different people, and I, you know, different people have their different ways of showing protest, but I mean, taking a knee, raising a fist, but you did that. You raised your fist during the anthem. And there were some negative repercussions because of that. Or at least did, better yet, did you see negative repercussions because of that? And if so, what are your thoughts, feelings about that?
So you're correct. The last 2 years, 2018, 2019, I've been raising my fist during the anthem. And this year, I started taking the knee. And I feel like it was imperative. I feel like I had to do it. Like, I was born and raised in the inner cities, and I feel like if I didn't do it, my people feel like I'm detached or I'm not in tune on what's going on. Or, you know, when you make it, the people that don't make it, the people that's back home, they kind of feel like, oh, he's rich and he's famous and he doesn't care what's going on in the inner cities or in the real world. So I feel like I had to do that to show my people I was with them and show them that I cared and just to raise awareness for the cause. And, as far as any slack that came from it from the organization standpoint, I didn't visibly see anything, but you know who the organizations are ran by, you know who run this organization. So, and you know, I felt like this year they had to be down for it, whether they wanted to or not, because of all the slack that was coming from George Floyd, the Wisconsin situation, just we started to come together and rise and start to use our power, and we weren't taking no for an answer as far as, hey, we want this, we don't want to practice today, we want to address this situation, et cetera, et cetera. So there wasn't any slack from an organization standpoint, and you know, the fans or the media, whatever, they're going to be them. You're going to have some good things said and some bad things said, but for the most part, it was beautiful what we was able to do in the NFL this year. Even when I had a friend, a high school classmate, he was killed last year, or 2019, December 2019, by the police, unarmed man. He's even cool wearing his name decal on the back of my helmet. Like, it was kind of cool what the NFL did this year. It showed us that they care.
So I want to transition a little bit. We talked about justice and what is justice and how do you define that word. But 2020 has been a hard year, and even 2021, the first few weeks of 2021 have already been difficult. So my second question for you all is what is hope? What does hope look like in 2021 and beyond?
Just recovery. Just, I guess I can say second chance again. Like, that'd show us hope. Everybody kind of bouncing back, getting back to their norm or getting back on their feet, et cetera, that to show that hope is real, even though we already know hope is real.
Jeremy, what would you say?
I would say hope is, you know, I guess something positive to look towards, something to have faith about. We look at Hebrews 11:1, you know, it says faith is the assurance of all things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this hope that we long for, you know, we have the faith to see. I think it's something that we need to be diligent to pray about, that we receive it, because I think there's a fear that we may never get it. We have a fear that our children may not ever receive it. And it might seem
receive,
like I'm working around.
Receive what?
The hope or, again, the hope. I guess it's kind of hard to define the word, because when you ask me to define a specific word, I feel like I would use hope to define it, but to define the word hope in itself, I just feel like it's just like a glorious atmosphere, we'll say, that we're trying to reach, that has things such as justice, equality, fairness. And we want to see future kids step into that hope that we hope to see one day. That makes sense.
Sam, what is hope to you? What is living hope to you, Sam?
Yeah, so hope to me, and you talk about living hope. I love the way you said that. You know, my parents started a ministry. We go to Nigeria every summer called Living Hope Christian Ministries. And Jeremy, you and I also, we did some stuff in Guatemala with International Justice Mission. But hope to me, it's almost like that dream. Remember Martin Luther King, he said, man, I have a dream that one day, right, white, black brothers and sisters walking together, holding hands. Hope to me is believing in a dream even when you can't see it. And yes, some people may say that's faith, right? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And even that word hope, again, things that you hope for, the evidence of things not seen. To me, hope is what gets you through even when you don't know how you're going to get there. I think about the two-a-day practices. I think about college. I think about training camp. I think about all these things that we went through that a lot of people did not want to go through in the sport world. You don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. and run and lift. You don't want to have to try and eat super healthy. Not everyone wants to put on the pads every single day of the week, sometimes twice a day. But you're doing that in hopes that you will make the team, in hopes that you will be a starter, in hopes that you will win the Super Bowl. So for me, hope is that dream of what's to come. Hope, especially in 2021, is what you hold on to. It's almost like this golden cord, something that you hold on to, even when everything else is falling by the wayside. Even when everything else is falling by the wayside, the only thing else I have left is hope. That's it. Because without hope, there's an emptiness. That's what hope is to me.
Sam always been good with his words, man. I met Sam back in 2015, I believe, and man, he took me under his wing ever since. And I always gravitate to Sam because Sam know what he's talking about, man, and he know how to put the words together.
Well, let's talk about that, Devontae. So 2-3 years ago now, right? We met five or so years ago, but you decided to go on a trip with me to Nigeria, Living Hope Ministries. We went to Nigeria doing medical missions trips. We were in Nigeria, is a developing country, over 170 million people. Two-thirds of the people there live on less than a dollar a day. What did you feel or experience while you were in a country outside of America with people? What did you feel? What did you experience on that trip?
Like, that's seeing them people, that's hope. That's like hope in the living flesh right there. And it just made me more appreciative of life, like life itself. Like, just seeing them people, because we're in the villages. Nigeria is a beautiful country. It's a lot to offer, but we're in the villages where people don't really have too much. And they just appreciative of life, and they just go about their day, smiles on their faces, singing, dancing, praising, like just full of joy. And like, I was thinking, like, dang, if I was in these situations, I probably wouldn't be too happy. I probably wouldn't be walking around with too much joy, smile on my face, da da da. But just seeing that year after year after year after year, I'm like, man, like, it just made you more grateful, more appreciative of like the little things.
Was there a moment that you remember on that trip, that something that touched you or something that you took back with you?
I've seen a lot, but I just, cause it was a medical mission trip. So we went with a medical team. And if you don't have like a medical background, you're kind of given a job like crowd control or just something else like that. And my job was crowd control. And so I'm seeing everybody. Everybody's going in the building. I see them. And just seeing the elderly or seeing the fathers with their kids, because in my environment growing up, a lot of my friends didn't have fathers, or just I have a soft spot in my heart for the elderly. So just seeing them and seeing them wanting to get help, or wanting them to help, want their their kids to get helped on. I don't know. That's kind of just touched me every day. Just knowing I was part of the reason these guys are getting help. That just, like I said, I have a soft spot in my heart for that.
And Jeremy, I know you and I got a chance to connect, really to meet in Guatemala in Guatemala with International Justice Mission. Tell me more about why it is that you serve the way you serve.
Yeah. For me, man, just wanting to do my best to reflect who Jesus is. You know, we see in scripture, he talks about having a servant's heart and that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And as I do these trips, I'm not going to necessarily say, oh, I want to feel good about myself that I did this Christian duty. You know, I can check it off my box, but no, I want to serve these people who are struggling, that have been through a lot mentally, physically, and spiritually, and to go over there and still, one, in a sense, spread the gospel, but see these people still have a hope in the gospel despite what they've gone through, that I'm learning something from them too. But ultimately, just, you know, just want to have the heart to serve. I believe it's what, 1 Peter 4:10, as each of you received a gift, use it to serve one another, using God's various grace. And, you know, I want to be obedient to that. I want to continue to have a servant's heart, not for my own flesh, but to serve others.
And just first of all, thank you for that answer. I want to dive deeper because sometimes I see, even as a Christian, because I'm a Christian as well, and I see some people not living out the gospel, like what Jesus called them to do. And I think about, I was talking with a friend of mine earlier, I was talking with Ben Watson earlier, and yeah. And we were chatting, and he's that guy. And we were talking, and he said, and he's going to be on this podcast as well. So y'all preceded him, but he's going to be on as well. But we're trying to understand, like, the Christians who believe in things that are just aren't really what Jesus did. And he said, well, think about chattel slavery, right? People were proclaiming to be Christians, mm-hmm. but they were also owning slaves and then preaching to them in a lot of ways. And a little side note, I've got a chance to go to DC and see the Museum of the Bible and some of the Bibles it would use. I think it was called the Negro Bible. They actually took out all of Exodus, right? Some of these people took out, it was ridiculous stuff, mm-hmm. right? So my question for you is, what does biblical justice mean? And I'm going to ask Ben this question as well, but what does biblical justice mean? And before I ask that question, I know Devontae is going to head out. Devontae, I appreciate you, man. I love you. I'm so grateful for you, man. And I can't wait for us to connect again soon.
No, it's all love, Sam. I will say you saved my life, but I can't give you that much credit. Oh, but no, man. I appreciate you. I'll be speaking to you soon to the film. I said, what's up?
Definitely.
And nice meeting you, G.
Nice to meet you too, bro.
Yeah.
So what does biblical justice look like?
For me, I understand biblical justice is a righteousness, you know?
But what is righteousness?
Obedience to, you know, Jesus' word, God's word. We see these things, and Paul speak about these things in Philippians. Do whatever is pure, noble, so on and so
admirable,
on.
Admirable, right. Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I feel like a lot of people miss out on, is we get to verse 10, Paul says we need to practice these things. We tend to read that part and be like, okay, thinking maybe miraculously we just turn into it. But these things take work. It takes practice. It takes a striving to be obedient. It takes a striving to be righteous. And God is challenging us to do this. We see Psalms 106:3 says, blessed are those who observe justice, who do righteous at all times. But obviously this righteousness takes a practice. I think we need to strive and be more conscious in being obedient to his word to display this biblical justice, you know?
That's dope. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because, I mean, I think about it, it's like, okay, the God I serve, I'm supposed to be a reflection of him. I'm supposed to be a reflection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The spirit of God lives in me. And so, and I'm trying, and we all fall short. I get that.
Oh, yes.
But I'm trying to reflect. But also sometimes it seems like people just intentionally are like, mm-hmm. And that's the part for me where I'm trying to understand, like, what is biblical justice, right? What does that look like? What does justice mean, right? I love the verse. It says, justice is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And I think mm-hmm. people hear that verse and say, okay, well, I'll just kind of go about my day and mm-hmm. live life. But then also you go to scripture and says, well, is it Micah? Seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. So God calls us to seek justice. I love what Devontae said earlier about, he said about justice is a second chance. Mm-hmm. A second chance. I hope to have on here a friend of mine who was in prison for 20 some odd years, and he got a second chance, a chance he never thought he would get. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's been an interesting question. And for anybody listening, part of the reason even in asking this question is I started a nonprofit called Athletes for Justice. And as I started and doing all these things and trying to serve, I had a friend that asked me, said, what is justice? And I didn't have a great answer.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I said, oh, something just didn't feel right. And there's something that was wrong. We're trying to right it wrong. But, and so first of all, I appreciate you for even hopping on.
Yeah, no doubt.
And your passion for the word of God as well. Last question before I let you go, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. What is love? And what is love? What is love? What is love?
Man, it's crazy because I'm always talking about my best friend, Max, man. We are two guys that want love, you know? And even like in history of like dating, to display if you're like fully in love with somebody, it made us think that love is legit sacrifice. I'm willing to put away my selfish needs and desires that will best fulfill yours. We see it even in some as simple as J. Cole. I love music. J. Cole and the song Folding Clothes, such the simple task that he might not enjoy doing necessarily, he does it because he loved this person. And even though he hates it, he sacrifices his hate for folding clothes to fold clothes for this other person. That's what love is to me. Mm. And we see Jesus display that, sacrificing himself to die on the cross for our sin, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So, you know, love is sacrifice.
I love that. Love is sacrifice. Well, Jeremy Davis, thank you so much for joining the podcast. We had Devontae Bosby on earlier, man. I love y'all. I appreciate, definitely, man. And I appreciate y'all too. Like, I appreciate the man you are, the witness you are. We talk offline all the time about you challenging me to memorize scripture. And, you know, you're ahead of me now, but don't worry, I'm catching up.
When you're catching up, I'm gonna keep going though.
But I appreciate you, G. You're the man. I can't wait to talk again soon.
No doubt, bro. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks again to Jeremy Davis and Devontae Bosby for joining the podcast. Man, some quick notes. I love when Devontae said that justice can sometimes mean a second chance. Justice can sometimes mean a second chance. And he also said in regards to why he protested, he said, I felt like I had to show people that I cared. And then lastly, I think about Jeremy's response to what is love. He said, love is sacrifice. Love is folding clothes, doing the things that you hate because you love someone. So thank you all so much for joining the Athletes for Justice podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, let your friends know about it. We'd love to hear what you think justice is, what you think love is, and we'd love to hear from you all. Thanks.